From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We've got a great show for you today. Brad Bird, the filmmaker behind The Iron Giant and The Incredibles and Ratatouille, he's going to be joining us to play Not My Job. He's already won an Oscar. He might get another one this year. And that's, you know, okay, I guess, if you don't mind sharing something with Mira Sorvino. But if you want a prize you really have to earn, you know what to do. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Anthony from Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver, Canada. Oh, I love the exotic international calls.
Yeah, me too.
How are things in Vancouver?
Kind of like Seattle, but metric.
Oh, I see. So the rain is measured in cubic centiliters. I think that's important. Well, welcome to this show, Anthony. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the proud proprietor of the website, moraca180.com. Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Mo.
Hi, Anthony. Can I borrow some loonies?
They're worth more.
I know.
That's why I want to borrow them.
Also say hello to a deputy editor and a blogger at the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Hi, Anthony. Do they still call it Vansterdam?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to go with yes. Also say hello to a humorist and an author, most recently, of Long Time Leaving, a Dispatches from Up South, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Roy.
Hey, Anthony, I don't know anything about Canada, so I'm not going to ask you one of those Canadian questions as the rest of it.
Come and visit. You can stay with me.
Oh, okay.
You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle, right now, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine.
All right.
Ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first quote.
It's starting to look like a pee-wee soccer tournament. Everybody gets a trophy.
That was Slate's John Dickerson talking about an ongoing contest where so far there have been three battles with three different winners. What are we talking about?
The Republican primaries.
Exactly right, the GOP primary. The latest player to be told he's a winner for doing his best is Governor Mitt Romney. He won Michigan, a state where his father was governor, and where he promised the people he'd bring $20 billion in subsidies, that he would bring back all the auto manufacturing jobs lost during the last few decades, and that he would spend his fortune to build a dome over the greater Detroit area so that they could grow palm trees in Hamtramck. Great! That's good, and it worked. But the big question is, with three major primaries and three winners, who is going to be the nominee? Given that every leading candidate is hated by a larger constituency than the one that supports him, we anticipate a brokered convention this summer with a nomination finally going to a signed 8x10 photo of Ronald Reagan hanging on a coat rack. Do you guys have any predictions about the GOP race? Nobody else does, do you?
Fred Thompson takes South Carolina, then Rudy Giuliani takes Florida, and then we have to come up with a state for Ron Paul because I just feel badly for him.
Really?
Just to make him feel nice.
He could have North Dakota. How about that? Okay. We'll give him North Dakota.
He's hot in Nevada here, Ron Paul.
Yeah, they might go for the AP said he might win Nevada, which would be the greatest thing ever.
Right. Strippers for Ron Paul.
Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, when you say that they're strippers for Ron Paul, they're not stripping for Ron Paul. That I don't think he would go for.
You don't think so?
No. That's not his style. Well, he's a family man.
I actually read a quote in an article where some strippers said that they would like to use his little Ron Paul stickers as pasties.
Oh,
really?
I'm serious. Yeah.
All right, very good, Anthony. Here's your next quote.
The Bush administration said Monday that it intended to sell 900 Joint Direct Attack munitions to a country that won't even let me go to the hotel gym because I am a woman.
That was ABC's Martha Raddatz. Taking the ironies of the president's foreign policy a little personally, where does the president need to work a little bit harder to spread his, quote, freedom agenda?
Saudi Arabia.
Exactly right. You know how sometimes... Very good. You know how sometimes you're just about to run out the door and then you remember this important thing you forgot to do? Well, thus it was, with a year left in his term, President Bush went to the Middle East where he lounged about in fur-lined robes with Saudi princes. appeared with Egyptian President for Life Hosni Mubarak and basically said, hey, you guys, maybe someday you'd like consider having an election. The result? The Saudi foreign minister was asked if in their meetings they had talked about human rights, and he responded, quote, about what? True fact. Ooh. This is actually a better result than he got with the other topic on the table, high oil prices. President Bush, most powerful man in the world, remember, oil guy, knows these people, said that he would mention his concern about $100 a barrel oil to the Saudi leaders. He'd mention it. Apparently they nodded and made sad faces before everybody in the room broke out into peals of laughter.
And he did that sword dance.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Did he do the sword dance?
Yeah.
I know that he saw the sword dance.
He did it pretty good, actually. So
this is the Saudi Arabian
folk thing. They're side by side.
Thing.
Yeah, arm in arm with swords.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, and he holds hands over there. We've never, have previous presidents done that? I haven't.
Sword danced and held hands?
Held hands.
Apparently also the Saudis gave him as presents fabulous bling.
Oh, yeah?
And it's vast necklaces with encrusted with jewels and rubies.
A barrel of oil around your neck.
Yeah, that's right. It would be worth more. All right, here, Anthony, is your last quote.
You hear about big bass or a big buck in the area, but this is a different deal.
That's a Texas man named Ricky Sorrells. He was talking about something that's got the people in small town Stephenville, Texas, all abuzz. What do 40 residents of that town insist they really saw?
UFO.
Exactly right. 40 residents of Stephenville, including the local constable, insist that last week they saw an enormous object in the sky. One person said it was as much as a mile wide. Another told NPR that it was, quote, bigger than a Walmart, unquote. That being the standard unit of size in West Texas.
And this is an NPR listener, so apparently they really didn't like the UFO.
Yeah, apparently not. They say that this thing, whatever it was, flew very fast and was chased fruitlessly by two fighter jets. The Air Force, naturally, denies those reports. They suggest it was just light reflecting off some airliners, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Now, the residents of Stephenville are basically saying to us, they say, look, we know you think we're just a bunch of the kind of rural hicks who are always reporting UFOs. And we are that. But this time it's real. Carl, how did Anthony do?
Well, our Canadian neighbor, Peter, had three correct answers, so Anthony, you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you.